Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of August, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Stephen Platt from Archer Financial Services will be here to look at the agricultural energies. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day, take up today's crop progress reports as released by USDA yesterday afternoon, and we'll take a look at the Ag News as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the CMR from IPM, Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up on this Tuesday, the day before the first crop production report for the corn and soybeans for this season. Nearby corn was down 13¾ cents, that after yesterday's upturn. Turnaround Tuesday at 376.5. December futures at 387.5 were down 13.5, and the March down 13¼, $3.98¾. Next year's July at 409¼ in the corn pit, down 13 cents, in December, 11.5 cents lower at $3.99. August soybeans at 10.14, down 30¾. September down 27¼ at $9.81. And November beans at $9.71½. The new crop finished 23 cents lower. January down 23¼ at $9.76. The March at $9.70¾, down 21½. July beans down 19 cents at $9.65. Bean meal futures were down $14.60 at $3.47.90, and the bean oil off 33 cents at $30.08. Wheat futures in the soft red winter at September down 18¼ at $5.07¼. July at $5.28. That's for next year, down 17½. July a hard red at $5.43½, down 15 cents. Live cattle futures August contract 30 cents lower at $149.87½. October at $149.25, 25 cents lower. August feeder cattle up 2½ at $214.27½. September at $210.60, up 22½ cents. And lean hogs for 100 pounds in the August contract today, a 50 cent gain at $77.15. October down 27½ at $62.70. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $43.18, down $1.77 a barrel. Ethanol futures at $1.46¾, 2½ cents lower. Gasoline on the RBOB at $1.69½. That's up just about 0.1 cents. And diesel fuel at 2¼ cents lower at $1.56¾. Natural gas for the day at $2.84¼, up 0.2 cents. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 17,342, 211 points lower. The dollar at 0.123 is higher that much at 97.325. Gold futures on the day are currently trading up $5.20 at $1,109 even. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, a high of 82. Tonight, clear with a low of 58. Tomorrow, sunny and 81. Wednesday, clear and 58. Thursday, sunny and 84. You might get the feeling that it's an easy forecast, and in fact, it is. Thursday night, mostly clear and 63. Friday, sunny and 85. Friday, partly cloudy and 65. Saturday, sunny and 86. Saturday night, well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and 66 degrees, and then sunny skies on Sunday for the new week, the high of 88. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this 11th day of August. Let's check now with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He's been watching the marketplace in Chicago all day long. Wayne, thanks for being with us. This is the day before the USDA crop production and WASDE reports. This is the August set of numbers, the first chance USDA actually has to get out and take some real measurements of both the corn and soybean crops. What should producers expect at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, do you think?
Well, I think Dean, we saw the crop ratings hold their own yesterday. I don't look for a great decrease in the yield to be that way. We are going to be very concerned and looking and watching to see whether they'll lower the harvested acres because of all the water damage, because of prevent plant, because of not being able to get back and replant some of that would have been anticipated to get replant in some areas. So, you know, like Missouri's, parts of Indiana, parts, you know, in Arkansas, and, you know, and those along the rivers where they went over the levees and stuff that way. You know, will they, how much will they lower the harvested acres, I think is going to be the key thing. You know, we're already looking at the idea that the average guesses are going to put the carryout lower than the last time around because of the way the carry-in was in the last the WASDE was figured. So, you know, we've got things that are looking along the way here, but all in all, the carryouts will be probably a little lower for reasons, but we might not be as low as what a lot of the trade was anticipating yesterday when they were talking about the dry weather and everything else going on. So,
yeah, as soon as this comes out, and I'll let you do this early, it probably will be dismissed. But is this likely to be the highest set of yields you think that we'll see from USDA for the season? And there are four times during the season, August, September, October, and November, that they actually go out and take yield tests.
I think it will be because a lot of this crop, it's a few weeks behind, and it's not mature enough to take all of the readings that they would like to have to be accurate. And because of that, and because of the problems of, we think in many areas, there'll be smaller kernel size, smaller beans, a few things like that going on. We're probably going to say this, it will be one of the largest ones that we have for the year.
Okay. What have producers been telling you about the crops, and does it differ? I know it does, but does it differ from one part of the region across the Corn Belt to the other? And have you heard very much about what's happening in the South and whether they're able to get really started and what their crop conditions look like at this point?
You know, we haven't talked to a lot of people down the deep South. We know that Texas, Louisiana has been making some fairly good progress. And we know that they looked at in some of that area that was planted very close together. So it's going to be a very fast and rapid harvest down there. And I think that theirs was in better shape a lot than some of the up north because they didn't have the heavy rains as such that way. But, you know, we're seeing a lot of variability and a lot of problems like Arkansas where they resurveyed. We know that there's a lot of variation in the crops there. As we talked to some of our customers down there, we know that there's some good spots, but we know that there's quite a few holes in the whole crop down there. So, and then I think the big question is, what's Illinois going to actually do when it comes around to it? Because that's a state that sort of, if it goes a little better than average, puts us up to where there's enough good to make up for the bad, and it can go the other way too.
Thank you so much. We look forward to talking with you again, not only on Tuesday of next week, but on Thursday afternoon for Commodity Week.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday. Don't forget that tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, visit our website. You'll find all the information about the latest USDA crop production reports. I'll try to get those updated first in the Twitter account and then the USDA tables that are there on the willag.org page will be updated not long after those numbers come out from the USDA tomorrow morning. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed that Minnesota's corn and soybean crop are getting better, both improved by 2% in the good and excellent categories, 89% corn, 83% good. 90% of the soybean crop is now setting pods in that state or beyond, and it is 2 weeks ahead of schedule across the nation. Taking a look at the numbers as released by U.S. 96% of the corn crop is said to be silking. That's on par with the five-year rolling average. 50% of the crop is now in the dough stage. It's normally 49% in dough at this time of year. And 9% of the corn crop is now dented across the 18 reporting states. That's a little behind. It's normally at 15% on the rolling five-year average. North Carolina is leading that category. It is 68%, normally at 73%. Texas, 55%, and it's normally at 65%. The condition of the crop around the nation, 52% good, 18% excellent. That's the same as last year. Now let's take a look at the soybeans. 88% of the crop is now blooming. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 91%. 69% is set pods. That's 3% ahead of the rolling five-year average. It's said to be in 49% good and 14% excellent condition. That's down really one percentage point from last week. It was 50% good and 13% excellent. They add up to the same in the two categories, but slightly worse this week than last week for the soybeans. Now, here are the numbers as they come from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Another week of minimal rain showers and hot temperatures has dried the remaining wet spots, which led farmers to run irrigation systems to keep crops from drying out. Average temperatures range from 68 to 78 degrees, and from 1 degree above to 6 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.03 to 2.81 inches, with a statewide average of 1.04 inches. Soybean setting pods was 72% complete this week, compared to 78% last year, and 67% five-year average. Corn doughing was 44% complete, compared to 53% last year, and 51% five-year average. Corn and soybean recovery from the June rains remained inconsistent, although soybean fields located in poor drainage areas tended to green up more quickly than the corn. Much of the corn crop remains yellow, and some corn stands have aborted kernels at the ear tips due to the lack of nitrogen and disease. Farmers report small ears for corn and fewer nodes than normal for soybeans. The late application of herbicides left soybeans vulnerable to competitive weeds such as glyphosate-resistant mare's tail and water hemp, which have become more prominent with the mild temperatures. Several specialty crops such as mint, cucumbers, and potatoes were harvested this week with lower yields from cool temperatures and excess rains. Otherwise, farmers were occupied with applying late herbicide on bean fields, hauling grain, prepping for the state fair, and preparing bins for the upcoming crop. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rain fell across most of Illinois last week, benefiting crops that were starting to show stress from dry conditions. Temperatures were right on average at 73.8 degrees across the state. 67% of corn acres have now reached the dough stage or beyond. That compares to 74% 1 year ago and 69% for the five-year average. 17% of corn has reached the dent stage compared to 24% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 15% very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 56% good to excellent. For soybeans, 89% of acres are blooming compared to 94% 1 year ago and 93% normally. 70% of acres are setting pods compared to 71% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 19% very poor to poor, 31% fair, and 50% good to excellent. In other crops, sorghum is 60% headed and 22% turning color. 95% of oats are harvested, and 38% of the third cutting of alfalfa hay is finished. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Brian Gallagher, Agricultural Statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report. Dry conditions throughout the week with precipitation not arriving until the weekend allowed Iowa farmers 5.5 days suitable for field work. Activities for the week included cutting hay as well as fungicide and insecticide applications. There were scattered reports of weed and insect issues in soybeans and fungus in corn fields. Seed corn detasseling was nearing completion across much of the state. Iowa saw a very wide range in precipitation totals for the past week. Parts of northern Iowa recorded nothing more than sprinkles for the week. Meanwhile, locally heavy rains fell over far southwest Iowa. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged about 2 degrees below normal over eastern Iowa to about a degree above normal over the west, with a statewide average of 0.7 degrees below normal. Limited precipitation across northern Iowa resulted in falling topsoil and subsoil moisture levels across the area, with northwest Iowa reporting over one-quarter short to very short on topsoil moisture. 97% of corn crop reached the silking stage or beyond, with 51% reaching the dough stage or beyond, slightly behind 2014 but 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Reports of corn starting to dent were received across the state. Corn condition rated 83% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming or beyond reached 92%, 5 days behind the previous year. 73% of soybeans were setting pods. Soybean condition rated 79% good to excellent. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Don't forget tomorrow that USDA at 11 a.m. Central Time will update the crop production and WASDE figures. This is the first crop production report of the year for corn and soybeans. Check out our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Check in your email if you're signed up for our newsletter. It's already there. And all the tables are in the newsletter. They will update dynamically or automatically as those numbers come in and I get a chance to put them in. There's also my Twitter account, at Commodity Week. It will be the first place you can see the numbers from USDA's crop production and WASDE report. It's all right there at willag.org right now. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here are a couple of items of note in the agricultural news today. First, the dead zone. The size of that zone is said to be 6,474 square miles this year, or about the size of Connecticut plus Rhode Island. That is significant because U.S. EPA and some states along the Gulf Coast in 2001 set a goal of reducing the size of the dead zone to 1,950 square miles. Again, this year it's measured at 6,474. That zone, of course, is a place where aquatic life is not supported and receives a significant quantity of nitrogen and phosphorus pollution from upstream as far north as Minnesota. An abundance of rainfall along the Missouri, Mississippi, Illinois, and Ohio rivers may very well be one of the reasons contributing to the size of the dead zone this year. Not only did it contribute to the size of the dead zone, but it created a lot of soft red winter wheat that has been infected by a fungus, vomitoxin. And there is something that producers can do with that wheat. If it is so infected that it's not capable of being fed to livestock, it might very well be used as a cover crop this fall. And finally today, we'll look overseas where the Chinese central government has released some new guidelines for agriculture in hopes of making it more intensive and environmentally friendly as they seek to ensure adequate and safe food supplies for their population. The guideline, issued by the State Council or China's cabinet, seeks to transform the production model by weaning dependency on resources and mass labor and improving the use of advanced technologies and skills of farmers. By the way, China's summer crop output reached a record high of 141 million tons in 2015, that after 11 consecutive years of increases. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now to the energy markets. On the line is Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services in Chicago. Stephen, thanks for being with us. Tell me about crude oil. It's been making new lows over the past week or so. What's into this marketplace?
Well, crude was not immune from the movement by the Chinese to devalue the yuan. That action did affect not only crude market, but other markets as well throughout the commodity complex. Crude has been under pressure, though, and a lot of it is being traced to what we've been talking about in many respects. First of all, China, it remains in the background, and concern over their manufacturing activity still is apparent. The supply side continues to advance despite the low prices. We did see some numbers coming in from the EIA, or Energy Information Agency of the U.S., suggesting that we have started to see some slowing in the production growth. But once again, overseas, you still continue to maintain high production levels and actually have seen some growth in some of the other non-OPEC areas, such as Iraq, that has continued to pressure values. I think certainly some bullish trends are out there. We have seen gasoline demand be quite strong. There has been even some problems with some of the refineries here, given that they have been running at peak capacity. Some of that is a reflection of the U.S. demand growth and some responsiveness to the lower prices. So overall, we've been looking for a low in the low 40s, and we're getting down toward those areas. I think 41.15 is an area to watch as we approach that level. That goes back to 1990 when the Iraq War began in October. I think that certainly could mark a point for the market to maybe start to rethink how far prices might go and maybe give pause to OPEC members.
For today, $42.69 is the low, and that is for the September contract, the lead option, and it's contract low, I believe. Last trade there was at $43.29. What happens if we tap that low that you talked about, and then we move through it?
Well, I think that's something to, you know, it represents a pretty significant high that for the market, and could provide some modest support. There was even talk yesterday concerning OPEC and maybe some talk of an emergency meeting. That type of talk will start to come into play, I think, as we move into the Northern Hemisphere winter here as the fall progresses.
Other markets that you have been watching, and maybe we've got 20 seconds or so.
Well, certainly nat gas has been holding its own. I think certainly as we move into the harvest and look at drying conditions and that one probably might even look to secure some of their needs. The market's been holding better, and I think does have some pretty good demand background for it to maybe advance here moderately.
Thank you so much.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Raspberry Bombay Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1673, Richard Mead was born. A British physician, he helped establish smallpox inoculation, and he wrote works on plague, smallpox, measles, and scurvy. In 1865, Guilford Pinchot was born. An American forester, He served as first chief of the U.S. Forest Service, and he championed the conservation of natural resources. He became chief of the New Forest Service in 1905 when the management of the forest reserves was transferred to the U.S. Department of Agriculture from the Department of the Interior. At that time, the nation had 60 forest reserves covering 56 million acres. In his 5 years in office, by 1910, those numbers increased to 150 national forests covering 172 million acres. In 1874, Harry S. Parmelee of New Haven, Connecticut, patented the sprinkler head. And in 1903, the first U.S. patent for instant coffee was issued. The product was first introduced at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo in 1901. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 11th day of August. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here, as usual, with a look at the weather forecast. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks, Don. We've got cooler weather here. It's really a beautiful day, and it looks like we'll have sunshine for the rest of the week and temperatures in the low 80s. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at what we would call a Goldilocks zone, where temperatures are just not too cold or not too warm. They're just right. And we're going to continue this trend, although get warmer as we get into the second half of this week and into this weekend. Temperatures over most of the nation east of the Rockies are going to be pretty warm. We're not looking at any record-breaking temperatures, but good heat unit accumulations going on and good crop development type weather.
In Indiana and Ohio in particular, that northern section of both of those states, they were extraordinarily wet to begin with for a very long time, a very desperate situation, relatively speaking, for the crops there. Unlikely that they can respond very well. However, they have turned dry, and now they need a drink. Is there any rain in the offing for them?
Yeah, I would say that especially here over the next 3 or 4 days, there's going to be some thunderstorms and showers across eastern Ohio, getting into portions of Indiana. I think Ohio will probably do better on the rain than Indiana will. So there's a little bit of precipitation coming. And if we were to go past this week into the second week beyond that, it does look like it will cool down again and there will be increased rain chances in all areas as we get past the 10-day period.
If you look around the rest of the nation, what kinds of interesting anomalies do you see? It appears there are a whole bunch of highs that are just floating around the United States, at least in the western U.S.
Yeah, and honestly, what we're seeing in the central and western United States is textbook early August in terms of the way the jet stream pattern is behaving at the moment. Big area of high pressure over the southern plains, over Texas. It is pretty dry, Texas, Oklahoma. Those areas, and around that high, we have showers and thunderstorms coming up out of the desert southwest. And this will help draw in some moisture to occasionally bring showers and thunderstorms to the western Corn Belt later in the forecast period. But if you were to look at the nation as a whole here for the first 11 days of August, it's been very, very average.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Speaking of our website, if you go there now, you'll find my Twitter account, and you'll also find a link to the USDA reports. That's either over on the right-hand side of the page or at the bottom of the page, depending on which device and which browser you have open and how wide that browser is opened in its window. Nonetheless, in the USDA reports page, you will find tomorrow's crop production numbers, not posted yet, of course, just question marks and hashtag values there, but they will be updated automatically as those numbers are put in after 11 o'clock in the morning, so you can see them very quickly, especially on that Twitter account if you're wanting to follow it. The crop production report numbers, the WASDEA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates are due out at 11 a.m. Central Time tomorrow.